And then the refrain says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. It says there are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things cannot afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, oh, fill it up and make me whole. And then we have another one that says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. And he says, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Calls us to come into right relationship with him. Call, he says, why do you tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for me? And so he calls us today to come home, to come to him, to be in right relationship with him. I read a little reflection that says, author learns her late husband was love-starved. Joyce Carol Oates, an American novelist, and her husband Raymond Smith, also a writer, met while attending graduate school in 1960. They got married and spent 47 years side by side. In 2008, Smith entered a hospital with pneumonia, and it took his life. His death was sudden before his wife could get to him. In her memoir, A Widow's Story, Oates described how she went through her husband's things following his death and discovered an unfinished novel. In the notes of this work, she found when he was in the hospital prior to their marriage, and he fell in love with a fellow patient. To Oates' surprise, she also discovered that a psychiatrist had diagnosed her husband's condition by calling him love-starved individual. She was shocked and even disillusioned. She had been close to her husband for years and never knew that he was starved for love. Oates writes, it should not fill me with unease to learn this after Ray's death and so many years after it happened. But it does. It does fill me with such unease to know that he was love-starved. He hadn't told me. It was a secret. He had been love-starved. Isn't that an accurate description for many of us? Everyone has a need, a hunger, and even a craving for love. And when it isn't found, we become love-starved. As Oates said elsewhere in one of her short stories, loneliness is like starvation. You don't realize how hungry you are until you begin to eat. And so there's an emptiness in us, a desire for something outside of ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, in my earlier service, that in the Bible study we were talking about, why do people, you know, seek God? Why do so many religions in the world? You know, I'm a Christian and I believe it's the best religion there is. And I'll tell the world that, well, no, you know, second thought, no qualification. I believe it's the best, following Christ. But there are many religions and people are seeking God, seeking something outside of themselves. And as we are reading this excellent book, well-written book called The Call, let me tell you, just well-written. All of us who are reading it or coming to this Bible study is one of the best books, Adam Amel. It's hardcover, but it's just excellent. And in it, you know, as he talks about Paul, we see that Paul, the Athenians, Paul would fail in Athens because the Athenians were philosophers and so, and Paul believed he was a failure in Athens. Later on, he would not know this, but look what has happened to Greece. They're predominantly Christian, but he thought he failed. They were philosophers and all of that, and they had all this knowledge. Yet still they were seeking God, because even though they were not seeking Yahweh, they were seeking the false gods, the stone gods. They had the God of love and the God of this and the God of everything else. They were seeking God, seeking something outside. I always say God with a lower G. Right, this thing. And then someone said, we asked the question, why do you think so? And I said, because we need this something to fill us. And someone says, because we're born with a God gene. We're born with a God gene. There's something in us that is always seeking something outside of us, greater than us, larger than us. And I call it relationship with God. We are thirsty, you see. We are thirsty. We desire something else. And so there is physical thirst and there is spiritual thirst. And physical thirst is defined as having an uncomfortable feeling because you need something to drink. But there's another thirst, feeling a strong desire or need for something. And I'd like to submit to you that if you're really thirsty, if you're really physically thirsty, you're walking in the desert or somewhere, you're thirsty or you need water, if they give you a can of soda to drink, it never quenches your thirst. This is what we tend to do in the world. We want to take something else. It's has happened to me. When you're really thirsty, you just want water, plain, pure water. Because if you drink a can of soda or something like that, guess what? You get more thirsty, do you know? You still want that water, that thing to quench you. That's from a physical standpoint. You want that thing to come and run through your system and quench you. That's why we are made up of water, so much water. Now, this is a metaphor for this text today, our physical thirst. We look at the text and we think it's about physical thirst, but it's also about spiritual thirst. And we see in the Isaiah text that was read so beautiful by the young people, an invitation to abundant life. That's how it's subtitled, that Isaiah text. You know, when you look at it in the Bible, it is subtitled Isaiah 55, an invitation to abundant life. And it begins, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And that little section is telling you that what God is offering them cannot be bought by money. Cannot be bought with all the education. Of it cannot be bought. One has to surrender themselves to the Lord. And this is what they were telling the children of Israel. The exiles, they were exiles, and they are now being summoned to return and to be restored. Now, they were exiled outside of Israel. They were exiled by the Assyrian and during Isaiah time. And these exiles were both physically and spiritually thirsty. Because remember, they went under starvation in exile. They couldn't get enough to eat. They were being punished. And they were also away from worshiping Yahweh, the God of Israel. They could not be in right relationship, because for every Israelite, they wanted to get to where? To the temple, to worship Yahweh, to Jerusalem. And they could not, so they were spiritually thirsty. And here's the Lord inviting them to come. Come now and come to me. And money cannot buy it. You could get whatever you need from the Lord. Now, are we thirsty today? We could ask ourselves in our own lives, each and every one of us know our own lives. What are you thirsty for? What am I thirsty for? None of us here is hungry. We don't look like hungry folks. So it's not physical food that we're thirsty for. And we could afford to have water. But if truth be told and all of our lives should be dissected and put out, many of us, whether we are married or not married, has nothing to do with anything. Because we could be in the right relationships at the right man or the right woman or whatever we are looking for, whomever we are looking for, and yet we are thirsty. It has not quenched our thirst. We have seen this happen to many movie stars. As I mentioned this morning, earlier, that this is this one movie star, Heath Ledger, who had everything, good looking, had all the benefits. When he died, people said, oh, why would he die, kill himself? Why would he be depressed? He had everything. Yet there was something missing, that all the good looks he had and all the money that he had could not quench, church, the thirst. So we're thirsty, and we put it on other people. We all do. Something is missing in our lives, and we says, well, my children don't love me, and my mother don't love me, and this is not happening, because we are lacking something, and it's everybody outside of ourselves. Sometimes, you know, there are obstacles in our lives that we believe is troubling us, giving us high blood pressure, giving us heart pain, giving us all kind of ailment, and there are times when those obstacles are moved. God steps in and moves those obstacles, and we are still having the same problem. Why? Because the thirst have not been filled. Those of us who have gone through in marriages that didn't work or is not working, and then it falls apart, and we are out of the marriage, and we are still unhappy. A year after the marriage, 10 years after the marriage, 15 years after the marriage, we are still unhappy. Even though that person, that instrument, that thing has been moved out of our lives, guess what? We are still unhappy. We are still bemoaning it. We are still keeping ourselves locked because it had nothing. They are now gone, and we can't figure out, and we won't move on because we're thirsting for something else from God. Something. What is the meaning of my life? Why am I not appreciated? A person told me the other day that their daughter called up and gave them such a beautiful statement of how she appreciated them. Yet this person had told me earlier that their daughter, you know, she never hears from them. She never hears. So I said to her, hopefully you hold on to this nugget, because she may not call you the next 6 months or the next year, but remember that she has called you today. You understand? Remember, hold on to that good nugget that she has called you, because you may not hear it again. I know with my kid, I could count the amount of times she says, I love you, but I know she loves me, right? And I probably was the same with my mother, but we want to blame everything else on everybody, but it's our thirst. So Jesus reminds us, if you're thirsty, when we try to fill our emptiness with anything outside of this relationship with God, guess what? It doesn't work. And so he goes on and he says, come now. He says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while you may be found, while I may be found. Call upon him. Can you imagine telling the people in exile, that just came out of exile, they've just been gone through a bad time? We're not the only ones who go through a bad time. Have you ever just talked to some people and they're always telling you about their bad times? Like they have got the pattern on bad time. Like they're the only one who has bad time. Or they're the only one who is sick. They're never happy. They're never joyful. They're always having a bad time. It says, now I'm telling you, if any of you are here like this today, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Huh? For the thoughts of my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways and your thoughts. And so today we have to make an effort when we are in loneliness or we are depressed or we are overwhelmed or our life has treated us badly. We have to make an effort to get ourselves out of our situation. We have to make. This is what Jesus was telling now in the Gospels, telling the folks around him. He was showing them. He says, listen, the Galileans died. They were killed. They were not no any worse than you were. In essence, Jesus was saying, bad things happen to good people. Well, that story is a very unknown story because it's not all in the Gospel. But from what this Gospel narrative says, it says that their bloods were mixed with the sacrifice. And Pilate is probably known to have done that. But these were good people. And then the Tower of Siloam fell down on 18 people. And Jesus is saying, they weren't any better than you. They weren't any more sinners than you were. Yet these things happened to them. And he's not going to test you. Paul is going to talk about that afterwards. So he says here, listen, you need to get it. You have to draw to God. Repent. Stop being so mean, all of us. Didn't say stop being so mean, but I'm sure it's in between the text. Telling all of us, take a deep breath. Look at what God has blessed us with. Count your blessings, right? And when he steps in, count your blessings one by one and give God the thanks for what God has done. And so he tells a parable about a fig tree that is not bearing any fruit. This fig tree is bearing no fruit. And the gardener wants to cut it down. And Jesus comes, sends a word to us today how much he loves us. Because if you are under the sound of my voice today, you could hear, it is for you and for me. He's saying, listen, you got time to change. He says to the gardener, you got time to change. In essence, he says, listen, the gardener says, let's cut it down. And Jesus says, no. I want you to give it more time, and I'm going to get some manure. And today it says he's going to get what? Spiritual manure. I'm going to get some manure, and I want you to dig it up, and I'm going to tell you what spiritual manure is. I want you to dig it up, and you put the manure around it, and you pour water on it, and give it time. Every day of our life is time to seek God. And he gives us that spiritual manure when we come to church and we hear that God loves you. He gives you hope. That's your spiritual manure. He's trying to say to you, you don't have to be holding on to what you're holding on. He gives us hope. He strengthens our faith through the word and through prayer. We can call on him, and he wants us to know that he loves us. He reminds us that we are loved. That if nobody loves you, nobody has told you that he loves you, nobody is speaking that God loves you. You can't stop him from loving you. He won't stop loving you. You could say you hate him. You don't like him. You don't know about him. He doesn't faze him. He's too big. As a player said, there's an African-American player that says, your arms are too short to box with God. Amen. Did you know it was on Broadway? Arms are too short to box with God. You could box wherever. You can't reach God. Can't reach God. So you might as well relent. You understand? I'm giving you a boxing move, right? Arms are too short to box with God. So why, instead of being all this angst and all this disappointment, just let go and let God. Amen. Let go and let God in your life. Just let go and just says, I'm not going to get it. I could live to be 110, I'm not going to get it all. We don't get everything in our own lives. We can't even get our own relationships with our spouses and our friends. We can't even understand our own children, and they can't understand us. Why are we going to understand everything the scripture says? And why are we going to understand everything that there's a God? I'm telling you, it's an easier life. Mm-hmm. I could be as analytic and as questioning as anyone, but I learned the secret to let go and let God. Just let go. And says, God, I know you're here. You know, I tell you, I have a cousin who has never been going to church. And he never really talked the God thing, but he's moral and everything. And I just heard 2 weeks ago when I was in Florida, I heard that he had been rushed to the hospital. It's in his late 60s. And I says, what's going on? And he says, something with his liver. But he says, oh, it's nothing. They said they're running the test. Well, I started to pray because my soul is telling. And I said it to him over the phone. And he doesn't talk the God thing. I says, you know, I'm praying. He expects me to say that because I always talk that way. Even before I was a pastor, so I says, I'm praying. Come to find out, I was told on Monday, it's liver cancer. And they says it's contained. Now he's going to be up here. He lives in Far Rockaway, but he's going to be in LIJ, North Shore. And I said to him, Howard, I am praying for you. His name is Howard Wisdom. That is my maiden name. We're first cousins. Our fathers were brothers. I says, Howard, I am praying for you. I says, and I'll be there every step of the way with you. And his four children came on the phone, and I says, you're coming up. I'm in Hicksville, you know. And he said, yes. I says, I am praying, and I'll be every step of the way with you through this journey. And I'm praying for God's will in your life. And he received it. He received it because, understand it, I know that this is his journey. His journey is going to be my journey and the family's journey. And my daughter is all involved. We're all involved because these things happen. We want to know that there are people praying and is going to stand with us and beside us at any given time. No matter what the end is, you need to have some kind of peace. This is what it is this morning. And so Paul, as I bring this on, Paul reminds them, the children of Israel, he's trying to tell them, listen, you need to snap out of it.
That's what he's really saying. You know your history. You know what the Lord has done for you. How he brought you out of captivity. How he brought you. You need to start acting right. And each time he brings you out, you start having all them stuff and carrying on and all the stuff that you're not supposed to. You need to stop it. Do not test Christ. Why do we want to test Christ? How could we test God? He says, don't test him. As I said before, your arms are too short. Do not test him. Surrender before him. Seek his face. All right, he says, he's not going to test you beyond what you could bear. He's not going to test you, even though sometimes I may have my issues with that. Sometimes I say to God, you think I could bear more? I really don't think I can. But he's there with me, never answers, but he's there and he brings you out to the other side. This is our opportunity now and today to understand that the Lord is with us. That he invites us to come. He invites us, like he's inviting the children of Israel. He's inviting you and me every day, no matter what it is, to come. If you're in doubt, come. Just as you are without one plea. Just as you are without one plea. You don't need to understand Greek. You don't need to know Aramaic. You don't need to know Hebrew. You don't need to know that the Bible has Old and New Testament. You don't need to know how many books in the Bible there are. You don't need to recite a scripture. If you do, all the power to you, but you don't need to. Just come just as you are without one plea. And he will welcome you. Come, he invites you. And what an invitation. Normally when we have a party and we invite folks, if you're a good guest, you want to bring a gift, don't you? Oh, I could bring a bottle of wine or a basket of fruit or something. But God says, come with nothing. He says, you don't need any money to buy anything. I'll just come and I am going to provide sustenance for your soul. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Oh, come and quench this thirst in my soul. Oh, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven. I am praying for Howard. Bread of heaven. Feed him. Even though he doesn't quite understand. Feed him till he wants no more. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up and make me whole. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen us as we go through. Lose our jobs. We can't find a job. But we're weary. He says, come. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, come. He begs us to come. Pleads with us softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. And once we know this, we should be able to tell somebody else. That's why we know it, not just for ourselves, but to hold somebody's hands and says, Jesus loves you. He's going to be this way. He's going to be here with you. I don't know if you get it, but he loves you because he has sent me, meaning you, to be at your side. I'm his representative. You are his representative. You are his representative. We are his representative in the world because we know Christ. And we can tell somebody who's going through, don't know Christ. I've tried him. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. I can walk with you. And he's going to walk with you. And he's going to talk with you. And he's going to tell you that you're his own. And the joy you will feel as you tarry with him. Oh, glory to God this morning. Ah, when you cannot figure it out. I've never found my answer in a book. The only book I've found my answer in is this book. Amen. That's the only book. When I'm weary. Are you weary this morning? Have you ever loved one who has just been diagnosed with cancer? Are you weary this morning? You have to call on the Lord while he's near. Ask him and he will come. He will comfort you and he'll say, I'm with him when you can't be. And we could trust him. This is the only thing I could give you. I have nothing else. I'm like Peter and James, silver and gold have I not. But what I give you could save your soul. I give you Jesus, Savior of all the world. Amen.